local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Good evening, it's 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Juliana Gonsalves. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie. Let's start off with your local news headlines. With unanimous approval at their last meeting, Council finalized the city's purchase of the Lemoyne Point Farm property for $12 million. The property has been in limbo since the passing of owner Mary Fraser in 2022. In her will, Fraser granted the city the option to purchase the land at 95% of its fair market value, with the condition that it remain as much as possible zoned for rural use. The report from city staff provided to council at their second March meeting detailed the largely behind-the-scenes process to get to this point. In May 2023, the estate trustees set the price at more than $18 million. The city disputed that figure, and a court application was made by the estate trustees seeking interpretation of parts of the will in 2024. A settlement was reached in February 2026, and the court approved the agreement to sell the property to the city for $12 million. The sale is expected to close in mid-April. Council formally approved up to $12 million in debt financing for the acquisition, with repayment to come from the Municipal Reserve Fund. Councillors around the Horseshoe expressed strong support for the purchase.
There's a lot of joy in the city, and I think they're in the council chambers of this being done, and staff did a tremendous job and deserve a lot of credit and the patience they had to have. And so I just want to echo that, and it's a reason to be to celebrate, really.
Briefly, I really think it's important that we acknowledge the Save Lemoyne Point Farm group. They did some really incredible advocacy starting back before the 2022 election. They were extremely patient. They were always respectful, both I found with council and with staff, which was really appreciated. And I really also want to acknowledge their initiative. They got out there, they held meetings, they were trying to plan some visioning. They were really trying to get behind what community wants this space to be. So while we're still a ways off from any of those kinds of decisions, thank you. Please thank your group, all the members, but particularly the leadership. You've done exceptional work here, and I hope you're really proud of what you've been able to achieve.
Members of the Save Lemoyne Point Farm group, who have long advocated for the land's protection, were also present at the council meeting, celebrating the step forward while also making clear their work is not over.
We will still be vigilant in the background, but I really want to congratulate the council, and for anyone here who might not realize, I've been involved for 35 years in defending that property, and some people in this community have been involved for longer than that. So there really are a lot of very happy people tonight. Thank you.
City staff say no immediate changes are planned, with future uses to be shaped through a community consultation process over the coming year. Local organizations and partners, including the Cataraqui Region Conservation Authority, have already expressed interest in offering programming on the site. The city says a more detailed engagement plan is in the works, with updates and opportunities for public input to be shared through a dedicated project page on the city's website. Kingston is facing a major shift in its addiction services, with the city's consumption and treatment services site set to close in the near future and no confirmed replacement on the way. Earlier this month, the province issued a 90-day notice that funding will end for the CTS sites across Ontario, including Kingston's site at the Integrated Care Hub on Montreal Street. Provincial funding is set to end June 13th. Some communities are transitioning to new provincial homelessness and addiction recovery treatment, or HEART Hubs, an abstinence-based model that includes addiction recovery, primary care, and supportive housing. Unlike previous models, they do not offer safe supply or supervised consumption. Kingston organizations that applied in the initial funding window for a HEART Hub were rejected, leaving a gap in services. And even with a HEART Hub, the city is left with a lack of life-saving services for those not ready to pursue full recovery. At Tuesday night's council meeting, two motions were brought forward aimed at responding to that gap and supporting local service providers as the closure approaches. The meeting opened with many passionate delegations from community members, including a local addiction services provider and a physician with Kingston Health Sciences Center, both urging council to find a way to keep the CTS site operating.
Without a replacement, you aren't cleaning up a neighborhood. You're moving the medical emergencies out of the controlled clinic and into the public parks, our alleyways, and our business doorways. You are turning the entire city into an unmonitored injection site. These deaths won't be hidden. They will be on our sidewalks. If you remove CTS and leave only the AMHS in that building, you are pushing the remaining staff to the brink. They lose almost half their specialized team while the crisis remains at 100%.
Supervised consumption services are part of a continuum of care. They cannot exist on their own, but they also cannot be adequately replaced by other services, including heart hubs. Addiction is a complex medical condition that affects outwardly visible behavior. So it's easy for people to form opinions about how someone should act or what treatment should work, but this is a medical issue and we should not rely solely on opinion. We should rely on systematic observation and data. And even if Kingston had a heart hub, that would not change the fact that our community members still need supervised consumption services. It'd be like trying to run a trauma system and saying, we'll fund some bandages, maybe a tourniquet, and access to a surgeon, but we'll not fund the ambulance to get people to the hospital. Certainly some injured people would still make it to the hospital, but many people would be left behind without the care they need. For some people, taking CTS away in the name of saving money will cost them their lives. If we truly value these lives, then money spent on CTS is money well spent.
The first motion, brought forward by Councillor Jeff McLaren, called on the province to reverse its decision to defund the CTS site and explore ways the city could step in. Key actions included directing staff to examine short-term funding options, potential legal avenues to delay the closure, and working with local health partners to develop a continuity plan for harm reduction services through the fall.
In planning for this, there are things that we can do, and this is the outline of a plan. An outline of a plan that is designed to save people from dying, because that's what all the experts have told us is going to happen, and I think most of us would understand that this is exactly what will happen with the closure of the CTS. It will rob people of the opportunity to change and to become better themselves, because they're not on our timeline.
However, that motion was ultimately deferred due to the last-minute addition of the motion on the day of the meeting, and after Mayor Brian Patterson told council that discussions are ongoing around the possibility of a heart hub coming to Kingston, suggesting the situation is still evolving.
So I was debating whether or not to say anything, but over the last couple of weeks, I have already been having conversations with the provincial government. They are very aware of the situation that we are in right now. And I appreciate that there are movements to try to put a plan together. I can tell you that there are already discussions happening. I have had productive and encouraging conversations along those lines. We need a heart hub. We need it. We're pushing for it. We've got a great case for it. It's already been made. So I actually would appreciate the time that this motion defer is to get these pieces in order, and then we will get a better lay of the land. It feels like we are quickly rushing into a sphere that we don't even control or understand, and we're trying to move pieces around without understanding that there's already a lot in motion. So I am asking council to just give us that time to be able to see those processes work out.
A second motion, brought forward by Councillor Gregory Ridge, focused on supporting the transition when the CTS closes. It directs staff to work with Addiction and Mental Health Services, KFLNA, and community partners to maintain services at the ICH, and support local organizations in reapplying for a heart hub at the next opportunity, and securing other provincial funding in the meantime.
So the two primary intentions of the motion are to A, preserve the current shelter beds that exist within the integrated care hub, and to ensure that they're protected regardless of whatever else occurs with regards to operations at the integrated care hub, financial feasibility for ongoing lease there if there are any issues, and to prioritize them for protection in our shelter system. The second part is to look for options in terms of taking the existing integrated care hub funding and putting that towards the application or beginning establishment of a heart hub to help encourage or perhaps make an application stronger. So those are the two primary pieces. Here are some things that this motion is not. This motion is not saying that I prefer heart hubs over CTS. In an ideal world, we would have both. So this motion does not preclude CTS, does not condemn it. I'm merely looking at the options that we have available in terms of policy and advocacy to the provincial government. The decisions that were made around the CTS were made by the Premier. They were made by the Minister of Health. They were not made here. We did not make any decisions about CTS here because we cannot. All we can do is work with what we have. And if there is an option to support CTS in the future, I'm happy for us to assess that. But I think that we need to, at the very least, address the service gap that does currently exist within the announcements and policy decisions that have been made by the province to try and save lives. And so that's what I'm trying to do here, and I hope that people will support this motion.
That motion passed unanimously. For now, Kingston remains in a state of uncertainty, awaiting word on whether a heart hub will be approved while preparing for the closure of a service that's operated in the city since 2018. With provincial funding set to end in June, the timeline is tight, and what comes next for addiction services in Kingston remains unclear. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. You are listening to your Queen's Campus Beat, Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9 FM or online at cfrc.ca. I'm Henry. Queen's University will increase residents' fees by an average of 3.5% for the 2026-2027 academic year, following approval from the Board of Trustees on March 27th. The decision affects approximately 5,051 students housed across 18 residence buildings, the majority of whom are first-year students. According to the university, the increase is tied to rising operational costs, including staff wages, food services, and utilities, as well as planned infrastructure upgrades. These include washroom revitalization in Leonard Hall, bedroom renovations in Waldron Tower, roof repairs, and expanded Wi-Fi access across residences. Because the residence system operates as an ancillary fee, it must remain financially self-sustaining, meaning costs are directly passed on to students rather than subsidized by the university's central budget. The announcement has already raised concern among students about affordability, particularly as broader cost of living pressures continue to impact Kingston's rental and housing market. In contrast to rising student costs, Queen's financial outlook has improved significantly. A university report released March 20th projects the operating deficit will drop to approximately $2 million, down from an originally budgeted $26.4 million deficit announced in May 2025. This represents a reduction of more than $20 million, suggesting stronger than expected financial performance over the current fiscal year. While the university has not attributed the improvement to a single factor, the revised projection indicates increased stability compared to earlier concerns about long-term financial sustainability. The updated deficit figure will likely play a key role in upcoming budget decisions, particularly as the university continues balancing institutional costs with student affordability. In other news, a newly released Student Mental Health Policy Annual Report, presented to the Board of Trustees on March 6th and reported on March 20th, shows measurable improvements in student well-being, but not evenly across the student body. According to data drawn from the 2025 Canadian Campus Well-Being Survey, 74% of students reported average or high levels of positive mental well-being, while 58% rated their mental health as good, very good, or excellent. The report also notes increased use of mental health and wellness services since 2022. However, disparities persist. Students facing financial stress, disabilities, neurodivergence, or international status report significantly lower outcomes compared to the broader student population. The report fulfills a provincial requirement introduced in 2024, mandating that universities implement and annually report on formal mental health policies. While the overall trend is positive, the findings highlight ongoing structural inequities in access to mental health support. Finally, in research news, Queen's has secured national recognition for work targeting cystic fibrosis, one of Canada's most common fatal genetic diseases affecting children and young adults. A Queen's researcher has received a national grant to explore new treatment strategies aimed at improving long-term outcomes for patients living with the disease. While cystic fibrosis currently has no cure, the funded research represents a step toward advancing therapeutic approaches and addressing a major gap in Canadian healthcare. Further details on the project's methodology and funding body are expected in the coming months. Once again, you have been listening to your Queen's Campus Beat, Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9 FM. I've been your host, Henry.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Thursday, April 2nd, daytime high of 4, but feeling closer to minus 5. So bear that in mind if you're out and about on Thursday. Friday, April 3rd, Good Friday, 11 degrees with rain and wind in the morning, giving way to clouds in the afternoon. Saturday, April 4th, 10 degrees, sunny, beautiful day in the city of Kingston. Sunday, April 5th, another 10-degree day, but another rainy day, 75% chance of precipitation. And that means the start of next week, Monday, April 6th, will be a little colder, daytime high of 6, feeling closer to 2 with cloudy conditions. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. As a reminder, overnight street parking restrictions have been eased as of March 1st. You can park overnight on marked areas unless the weather conditions require it, i.e. think the heavy accumulation of snow or icy rain. All overnight street parking restrictions will be lifted as of April 1st. In terms of road closures, Berry Street to Queen is still closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Aberdeen from Johnson to William is currently closed to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. And lastly, you can expect delays on Front Road to Sand Bay Lane for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage.
As the snow is finally melting and the sun seems to be shining a little brighter, what's something you're looking forward to this summer? Hey, hey, I hope you're having a great day. It's your girl Gigi, CFRC's newest intern, and you're listening to What's Live at 5 on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up on this segment, I've got K-Town's hottest concert and event calendars for the week, starting with events. On Wednesday, April 1st, the end-of-term staff discount at dining halls begins. Staff and faculty at Queen's University can enjoy a 15% discount on door rates at Leonard, John Royce, and Ban Ree dining halls. Treat yourself to a delicious all-you-can-eat meal starting April 1st until April 8th at 11 a.m. The Wonderful Women Community Choir will be meeting at Crossroads United Church at 1 p.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. No experience necessary and all ages welcome. Are you an adult who faces social anxiety barriers? Not to fret, I've got something just for you. A social anxiety improv class designed with extra care to make sure you always feel supported. Drop by at the Tet Center at 5 p.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. The Open Stage Drag Show welcomes all new and veteran drag performers at the Grad Club from 8 o'clock p.m. until 10:30 p.m. And don't miss karaoke at Time Out Bar and Bistro at 6 o'clock p.m. On Thursday, April 2nd, take a cheerful midday pause and join us for a lighthearted creative wellness activity in celebration of spring and Easter. This hands-on wooden egg painting session offers employees a chance to unwind, express creativity, and enjoy a relaxed social moment during the workday. Swing by a spring craft break wooden egg painting at Duncan MacArthur Hall at 11:30 a.m. Also, check out a fantastical medical bestiary at the Museum of Healthcare at 10 a.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. Moving on to the best part of the week, Friday, April 3rd, don't miss the open mic at Storrington Lions Club at 5:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. Or if you're looking for a little bit of a later option, check out Friday Night Karaoke at The Buckle at 9 o'clock p.m. Saturday, April 4th marks Amelioba Threads for Change, a student-led sustainable thrift event in collaboration with the Queen's Black Academic Society that transforms donated clothing into community impact. This initiative collects gently used clothing, shoes, and accessories and redistributes them through an affordable pop-up thrift sale. All proceeds support the Amelioba Center for Women and Children, a nonprofit organization focused on advancing access to education, health resources, resources and community support for women and children. Open to all audiences and free to attend, registration is not required. Swing by Threads for Change at 151 Alfred Street at 11 a.m. until 5 o'clock p.m. Also on Saturday, don't miss the Downtown Kingston Easter Hunt, a community scavenger hunt that's fun for all ages, exploring local shops, solving clues, and hunting for hidden surprises. Join in the fun at Downtown Kingston starting at 10 a.m. The Isabel Bader Center for Performing Arts will be hosting Ballet of Lights, Sleeping Beauty in a Sparkling Show, a magical performance that blends classical ballet with modern visual spectacle. This beloved story is reimagined through breathtaking choreography and initiative stage design as six talented dancers illuminate the stage with glow-in-the-dark costumes. Ballet of Lights creates a multi-sensory experience where technology and artistry combine to bring a classic story into a glowing new dimension. Check it out at the Isabel Bader Center for Performing Arts either at 5 p.m. or at 7 o'clock p.m. And on Sunday, April 5th, swing by the Memorial Center Farmers Market at the Kingston Memorial Center grounds at 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. for fresh foods and to show your support to local vendors. And of course, you know what Sunday means, Sunday Fun Day at the Great Lakes Museum at 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Next up, our concerts calendar. On Wednesday, April 1st, happy April Fools! Not fooling you about any of these concerts, though. Get your midweek groove going with DJ Great White at Hotel Wolf Island from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. with a mix of 60s, 70s, and 80s hits, plus yacht rock, soul, R&B, and 80s new wave pop. At 5 o'clock, head to the Cove Inn for Wings and Tunes with Sean McCullough, live until 8 p.m., and stick around for the open mic hosted by a master guitar player and all-around showman. To finish off your Wednesday at 5:30 p.m., Vince DeBeal brings the country vibes to the Bank Gastro Bar, playing through to 7:30 p.m. On Thursday, April 2nd, kick off your evening at 5 o'clock with Original Thursdays at the Cove Inn, featuring a rare classical acoustic string trio, live until 8 p.m. At 7 p.m., head to the club at the RCHA for Women in Jazz, featuring Juno Award-winning saxophonist Allison Au, live until 9 p.m. Then at 7:30, it's a big night across the city. Classic Albums Live takes over Kingston Grand Theater with Slippery When Wet, bringing Bon Jovi's iconic album to life, note for note. And to close out the night, Old Man Ludecky hits the stage at the Broom Factory from 8:30 to 10 o'clock p.m. with some country tunes. Kick off the weekend on Friday, April 3rd with Deacon and Brody as they bring pop, rock, and indie vibes to Time Out Bar and Bistro from 3 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. At 5 o'clock, the city comes alive with Matt Dixon, the self-proclaimed rock and roll marathon man, as he hits the Cove Inn until 8 o'clock p.m. Also at 5 o'clock p.m., catch Micah Garvin with his acoustic sounds at the Toucan. Into the evening, Groove Infused lights up Time Out Bar and Bistro at 7 o'clock p.m. with R&B, soul, and blues rock straight out of Kingston. On Saturday, April 4th, we've got a full day of music across the city, starting in the afternoon with Sing It, a movie musical sing-along, takes over the Domino Theater from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., with doors at 1:30 p.m. Come out and belt your favorite tunes with the Kingston Meistersingers. Into the evening, River City Junction brings their Canadian blues and retro rock sound to the Cove Inn from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. At 8 o'clock p.m., My Son the Hurricane hits Signal Brewery with a high-energy mix of funk, jazz, and hip-hop. At 10 o'clock p.m., Squid Pistol takes over the Toucan, playing all your favorite songs late into the night. And at 10:30 p.m., Sparrow Blue closes things out at the Merchant Tap House with some country vibes. On Sunday, April 5th, finish off the weekend on a high note. Sunday Funday Chicken Pickin' takes over the Cove Inn from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., serving up some good old country music. At 4 p.m., singer-songwriter Chris Murphy will be performing at Time Out Bar and Bistro. And as the evening sets in, experience something special. Candlelight, Vivaldi's Four Seasons, and more at 6:30 p.m., a live performance by the Lo Stesso String Quartet under the warm glow of candlelight. And at 8:30 p.m., head to the Spire for Candlelight, Queen vs. ABBA, as the Lo Stesso String Quartet brings those iconic hits to life in a stunning multi-sensory show. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. As the semester comes to an end, so does my time at CFRC. I would like to take this opportunity to thank CFRC for the wonderful learning experiences, and to you, my listeners, for tuning in and making me feel like I've gained an even bigger community. Thank you so incredibly much. So, for the last time, no matter what you're into this week, music, food, dancing, or just pretending you have your life together, I've got you covered. For more details on all these events, check out cfrc.ca or lock in right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to Gigi on CFRC Radio, and from me to you, have the best week ever, be safe, be kind, and I'll catch you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Tu as 14 à 30 ans et tu veux créer une activité en français pour les jeunes de ta communauté? Avec le programme VIF, c'est possible. Tu peux recevoir 850 $ pour soutenir ton activité et l'organisme partenaire reçoit 150 $ pour appuyer. Passe à l'action et fais rayonner le français dans ta communauté. Visite programmevif.ca et dépose ta demande dès maintenant.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present the lead single from Rust Pump's debut eponymous EP. The song Drool Again stands out as the lead track, blending classic rock influences with a modern edge, while the song's use of seventh chords creates a melancholic, dreamy atmosphere that mirrors its exploration of a couple seeking relief through substance use. Both intimate and dynamic, Drool Again has become a favorite of the band and a lasting highlight of their sound. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Drool Again by Rust Pump on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I spent some time in the warm pouring rain. And I walked across that cold mountain range.
That was the song Prince of Wales by Chicago-based Veruca Salt from their 2015 album Ghost Notes. Now, after mainstream success in the 1990s, they went through a rather messy breakup in 1998, then reformed in 2013 when cooler heads finally prevailed. Now, before them, we heard Winnipeg-based An Unexpected End with the two-part song Face of Love and Closure, a single they released in March of 2023. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to No Chords Barred, a 90-minute journey across the globe and through time to hear music by mainstream, alternative, and independent artists from the past five decades, all with the primary intent to introduce listeners to artists with whom they may not be familiar, and at the same time remind them of some artists or songs they may have forgotten. My name is Donald Finnegan, and I go through this exercise every week as part of a personal hobby of just discovering new music. Now, that happens in many different ways, and this next set will start with an act that actually reached out to me via email. This is Once a Tree, a husband and wife alternative pop duo originally from and now again based in British Columbia, with a single they released in February of 2026 titled Vampire Girl.
finally move on to something great. I'm getting older and I'm
I'm over learning someone from the start. It feels like faith is a dying art, a means to an end, a passing card. Whoever I was and whatever you are,
sometimes.
That was the incomparable Annie Lennox with the song Why from her 1992 debut solo album Diva. She was preceded by Nashville-based singer-songwriter Drew Irwin with the song I Believe in You, a track from his 2024 album Gone Again. And Melbourne, Australia native Hayden Kalnin with the song Unfortunate Love from his 2020 album Soon Forever, one that had accompanying vocals by another successful Aussie artist, Harrison Storm. The BC duo, Once a Tree, began the set with Vampire Girl, a single they released in February of 2026. This is No Chords Barred with me, Donald Finnegan, and I'll take a short break and come right back with more music.
Are you between 14 and 30 years old and interested in organizing a French language activity for youth in your community? The VIF program can make it happen. You could receive $850 to create your activity, and your partnering organization could get $150 to support it. Bring your idea to life. Visit programvif.ca and apply today.